We've been talking a lot lately about the role of technology in our lives as lawmakers renew calls for regulation and social media companies announce new plans to police misinformation. Tristan Harris has been talking about all of this for years. He's co-founder of the Center for Humane Technology and was featured in the film The Social Dilemma. He's now a co-author of a new anthology called The New Possible: Visions of Our World Beyond Crisis. And Tristan, I want to ask you some big questions that you take on in the book. But first, Facebook set up an independent oversight board to address some of the problems you and others have called out. Does that tell you anything about where these tech companies are headed?
That's a great question, Tanya. I mean, I think we're in this really awkward phase where, especially post, you know, the January 6th events and then the follow, the deplatforming of President Trump and many other accounts, people are wondering, wait a second, these tech companies have a lot of power. So we're in this weird middle place where I think we're recognizing that we are now a digital nation. We're now a digital democracy in the sense that more and more of what it means to live life in this country takes place not in the physical world, but in the digital world. You know, the information that we consume or our ability to make money, which is increasingly through these digital platforms. So as what it means to be a citizen shifts into these digital platforms, they have to actually serve and be responsible and accountable in democratic ways. So to your question, Facebook has this oversight board, which is, think of it like a Supreme Court of this digital nation that Facebook stood up. But if you think of it, they have way more court cases that are getting thrown at that body than they have the ability to make decisions, right? I mean, if they are managing something like 15 billion messages per day, they took down in one three-month period 2 billion fake accounts. And so one of the problems is that they've just created a system of harms, of kind of pollution, where there are more types of pollution than there are court cases to adjudicate what would work here. So I think we're in this awkward middle phase of how do we become a digital democracy? And I've called for something almost like a digital constitutional convention, because we also don't want these platforms to be autocratically decided by, you know, Jack Dorsey waking up one day from an island in Tahiti and saying, you know, off goes Trump.
You also say that we can't do it alone. I mean, these tech companies have to help us because we are now addicted to the way that they operate. Do you think that more regulation is the way? Because now the public sentiment towards Silicon Valley has grown even more skeptical. But realistically, what do you think we might see out of Washington that you'd view as progress?
You know, we definitely need to change their core business models. I mean, for people just to understand that, so long as not just the business model, but the design is fundamentally about unchecked virality. You know, being able to broadcast to BBC scale across the world, but having the source of that voice be not a, you know, Walter Cronkite type character who's earned that trust and can broadcast hopefully responsibly. Instead, we have essentially human emotions that are wired directly up to megaphones. And that's the decoupling that's been missing from technology. And we may need regulation to get there. And when we say that, I think people naturally say, well, I don't want the government regulating speech. And I want to be really clear, that's not the kind of regulation here that we're talking about. We're talking about regulation that changes the incentives so that these companies don't profit from the problem, from unregulated messages where, as we say in the film, you know, fake news spreads 6 times faster than true news. So we need this kind of mass cleanup of our attention commons, of our information commons, just like climate change, from this kind of mass pollution that we've allowed to happen up until now.
People are listening to this conversation we're having right now, and they're thinking, okay, what is the takeaway message? I leave this conversation understanding that technology has now infiltrated our lives in such a profound way. There are these small things that we can do, but are we just too intertwined with technology, with our lives and societies? Can we actually live a life where we're using technology responsibly?
So the interwovenness is really what forces us to kind of have this recognition that we've become kind of a cyborg society. You know, can a business actually survive without using micro-targeted Facebook or Google ads? You know, most businesses now do a lot of their primary advertising through those systems. It's not a Luddite question of we just have to unplug. And we really want, when we talk about the phrase humane technology, is a world where we are not the product, we are the customer, and technology is not in any way have an incentive to control us, but instead is subservient to empowering us and allowing us to free up our minds to do the things that are most important. And that's what I appreciate about, you know, everyone pulling together this book of essays is we really do need visions of hope right now. You know, more than ever, we can't just sit in the problem. We have to ask on a daily basis, what would it take for this to go well? And how can my actions today be part of that? And that's at least the guiding principles that I try to live by personally. But more and more people are waking up to the fact that we've been part of a toxic hypnotic spell for something like 10 years now of society being sent through the washing machine of these news feeds. And we now have to kind of wake up. But like a hypnotist, you just snap your fingers and all you have to do is realize it.
Okay, Tristan Harris is optimistic. I'm optimistic. Tristan Harris is a co-founder of the Center for Humane Technology and co-author of the new anthology, The New Possible, Visions of Our World Beyond Crisis. Thank you so much for this conversation.
Thanks so much, Tanya.